Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com. 2016 brings us assurities. It brings us Christmas wishes that we otherwise have not had in the year previous. Maybe we didn't get that pony for Christmas. Maybe we didn't get the pair of shoes that we were looking for Christmas from a loved one. But rest assured, if nothing else, here we have a Pittsburgh Steeler team which was waning, and with the players on the field, didn't know if they were going to make the postseason because we're in a codependent state here. It's like going to the doctors and having a needle put in your arm and say, well, you're going to have to stay here with the IV until you get better. And lo and behold, here are the Steelers headed into a 2016 NFL playoff picture as a sixth seed. Does it sound familiar? Yeah, it probably does. Here with me to share the insight is Mr. Connor Easton. If I said that right, I hope so. If I didn't, I certainly apologize for that. Connor, how are you, and what did you think of that game?
I am very stressed out, Rudy. That game was something else. I mean, when you watch the Steelers, it's never in hand. I mean, they really should have beaten this bad team to a pulp, but they were never really in full control of this game. I mean, in the I think it was in the third quarter, they let Austin Davis have a 17 play drive, and that kind of worried me a little bit. But excited how we have the sixth seed, and I'm looking forward to next Saturday.
No doubt about that one. A wild card game that could be paired up against either one of these two teams, Kansas City or Denver, obviously in AFC West. Very formidable foes. Don't forget, Steeler Nation, that we took care of Denver in the second half of that game very handily, I might add. Didn't look great in the first half, just like we didn't look great in this game against a Cleveland Brown team that were just, you know, pass coverage for Pittsburgh has been very subpar. You have a lot of missing pieces as well, including today's injury of D'Angelo Williams. Connor is from Point of Pittsburgh, and it's a pleasure to have you on, sir. Give me your insight as to what you believe Steelers will do in their backup role for the running back position.
Well, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I'm not entirely sure what they have with Toussaint. I'm not entirely sure what they have behind him. I mean, they had to use Will Johnson as a running back there for. I mean, it was only one play, but they do lack depth. I mean, any team would after you lose your first two running backs. But I don't know if they're gonna sign somebody else. I doubt that. I mean, a possible name would be Harris, who used to be on the Steelers, but. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I don't really have. Or I haven't seen Toussaint play to any kind of length, so I can't comment on what he can and what he can't do. But the most I can say about this would just be I hope that Williams is not too hurt to play on Saturday.
Well, you know, going into postseason, the last time this happened is when you've had in certain Super Bowl runs between Le'Veon Bell being injured. Not only was it the first time this year he was injured, but it's the second time. So in turn, D'Angelo Williams really had to step it up and step it up well. The question is this: who do they use? And of course, Josh Harris, being the guy that he is, out with a shoulder injury, trying to recoup from that. Certainly one of those guys that will not enter the scene anytime soon. So they're going to have to make their mind up and determine whether or not, you know, Tobin can do it or Toussaint. Don't forget, there was a scoring touchdown by Toussaint in the end zone. So, you know, clearly there are some things working for the Steelers in relation to not only what they can do offensively, but, you know, trying to make a hodgepodge pass coverage scheme look that much more palatable. What were your thoughts about just Cleveland just blowing the doors off of these little, you know, hitches and being able to expose the Steelers' pass coverage?
I mean, I think we've really seen that all season, which is unfortunate. I mean, Antoine has really been mediocre all season long, and there was one play that really stood out to me. I mean, Antoine Blake, he's not great. I mean, he is what he is. He can tackle adequately, but he's not really exceptional in coverage, can't really do any one thing well. But there was one play that I saw him get beat down the sidelines on a 3rd and 19 to an ex quarterback, and that was hard to watch. A guy that's not even a wide receiver beat a cornerback that badly on a 3rd and 19, and it was frustrating watching the second half and Austin Davis, a guy that really is not very good, carve up for a 17-play, 9.5-minute drive against this defense. I mean, they were beating them all over the field. Antoine Blake was getting whipped. Will Gay had a couple of really bad plays that he would like back. I mean, it's when you watch this secondary, even from the first week, we knew that it was going to be a huge issue. We knew that Antoine was going to be an issue. And I didn't think it was going to be this bad. I didn't think that it was that the secondary was going to be this bad. I will say that Will Allen, though, played in this game exceptionally well. He was all over the field in the first half. He was making plays, and I don't know if he'll be here next season. I don't know if they're going to go a safety in the first three rounds. But I will say that if this was his last regular season outing with the Steelers, it was a very good one.
Most definitely, when you think of the Steelers' offense, I mean, Ben, for passing leaders, 3,589 yards, which eclipses last year's marker, 433 attempts, 295 completions, 18 touchdowns. And obviously, the workhorse in D'Angelo Williams is now questionable in regards to his foot. And I've seen the plan. I've seen what happened. I thought to myself, this is not going to work. This is just impossible. But isn't the first time this has happened. So when you're looking at a pass-happy offense, of course, you have what can Brown do for you, Antonio Brown.
Right.
With various touch Browns, yes, hashtag touch Browns. He's done it all season long. He's done absolutely fantastic work on the field. I love him strapping up those gloves in a moment's notice, you know, because he's just waiting for the next play. And his motor is just consistent. It's very consistent and a very dependable guy. I didn't want to see any of the Steelers in the Pro Bowl for one reason only. That means you didn't get to the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
So when you look at it from that perspective, yeah, okay, fine. So vote him to the Pro Bowl. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It's of no consequence. So make sure that you put these guys in the respective place they need to be, and that's where they put themselves in the 2016 NFL playoff scheme. Thinking about it from a defensive standpoint, the pass coverage has been suspect. Everybody knows that. It's not a big deal. And teams have really looked at the film. They've been able to diagnose and say, you know what, these guys are not very good at pass coverage. What do we do? How do we expose that? Moving forward, be it Kansas City or Denver, what do you believe the Steelers are going to have to do in order to stop this pass-happy offensive line on the opposing side?
Here's the issue with that is I don't know if there's anything that they can do. I mean, obviously they're going to have to stop playing Antoine Blake. That, I mean, and it's not going to happen, but that's how I would personally fix this because I don't know if there's any other option. I mean, part of it is scheme based. And when you play the kind of scheme that the Steelers defense plays, yardage will happen to you. I mean, they're going to allow the underneath routes. They're going to just let that happen. The issue is allowing it to happen all game, which has been the issue over the last two games against two offenses led by Ryan Mallett and Austin Davis that have really chewed them up. And I'm terrified walking into either Kansas City or with even Alex Smith or Peyton Manning or I don't know who's going to be playing for them. But I'm terrified of what they can do. The secondary, I'm not going to say that it's not repairable, but I think that the best way to make sure that this secondary improves at all is to stop playing Antoine Blake. I mean, that's really all there is to it. I mean, when you look at guys like Ross, when you look at guys like Will Gay or Boykin, I mean, they should be the starters. And Antoine Blake should be playing special teams. That, to me, it doesn't necessarily fix it, but it definitely helps it.
Well, it's definitely going to help when you have, you know, look, you give up a fifth-round draft pick in Brandon Boykin so that way he can sit on the sidelines and do absolutely nothing. I can only imagine the kind of pass protection by Brandon Boykin. He's been doing so well the last few games that he's actually started in. And, of course, Carnell Legg said, you know what, we're not going to take anybody out unless we deem a reason to. Well, if Blake isn't the reason to start Brandon Boykin, then you may as well start me as your quarterback because it's not gonna get any better with having him inside the slot. On the outside, I like Blake. On the inside, he gets burnt like toast. There's no way you can convince me that Blake is your overall answer. And of course, yes, in the first, second, and third round, would I like to see a tall, lengthy, dynamic, powerful corner? Everybody would. It's been the Steelers' weaknesses for years, but nobody wants to talk about it, especially in Pittsburgh media.
Right.
And if they do, it's very short-lived. So, headed forward, obviously, with the score what it is now against Denver, and to be honest with you, I don't care who you play. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
You could put us in Kansas City.
I think at some point that they have to they need at least one team. Whether or not I'll end up with one, I'm not sure, but it'll be for sure the Chargers move over there. That I'm sure of.
Well, I'm from this area. I'm in the Southern California market,
okay.
And what I'm looking at here is you have different teams with the same goal. Every team has the same goal, and that's to win a championship.
Right.
In their respective stadiums or where they've been or where they've gone to, they just don't seem. I mean, I don't know. You can't use the stadium as an excuse. Okay, so the fans have, you know, crappy seats, or you know, they have to use restrooms. I remember talks about the Vet, you know, back in the day in Philadelphia where there were leaks everywhere, and I watched NFL films about it. I said, man, who would even want to play there?
Yeah.
You know, who would even want to be there? And then you have the polar opposite when you're talking about Three Rivers. The Three Rivers was this monument. And people were crying when this thing finally just turned into pummel. You know, people were bawling and they were upset, and everybody wanted to take a piece of it home with them, and some people still do. A lot of Yinzers, yes, I said Yinzers out there, actually have taken a lot of these memories home with them. And some are just in the form of visual and actual memories that they'll retain forever. And so with that being said, Heinz Field seems to be one of those places. Unfortunately, the playoffs don't go through Heinz Field, but I guarantee you'll be able to sit there and watch it on the big screen, because Heinz Field and the Steelers just like to do that for their fans.
Absolutely.
And a big boost from the Steelers organization, speaking of organizations who have gone beyond what I thought was going to be something relative. They brought in a Steelers Nation Unite, which is a new segment for fans and fans only, whereas they didn't have that before, showing players more up close and personal so that way you know who they are. Besides the gridiron, besides what they are able to portray on the field, it shows them what they're like off the field. I know a gentleman I had the pleasure of interviewing not once but twice, and Arthur Motes, who in fact had a fantastic game today.
Yes, he did.
And hats off to him. Arthur Motes, number 55, this guy just seems to be one of those all over the place. His wife's very engaging. He's very engaging. They're engaging together and just a wonderful piece and addition to take of their own free time. They don't get paid to do this. This is something that they just kind of want to do for the fans, for very chosen people, and I'll get into dialogue with Arthur Motes at times and his wife, and just a real good family to have. And because of Steeler Nation Unite, I'm not trying to pump them up or anything, but because of that, fans are experiencing something they have never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I'm only aware that Steeler Nation does. I'm not really too familiar with any other fan base, the Jets or Giants or Philly or what have you, mm-hmm. but I'm sure they have their own equivalents. From an outside perspective, and to not, I guess the right terminology would be a homer, is to discuss some of the pitfalls. And I think some of the pitfalls that they really need to look at as an organization, from an organizational standpoint, again, just my opinion, but this is what this show is all about, is, you know, the cutting of players, the acquisitions of players, Jacoby Jones. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? Yes, I did.
That was a disaster. Oh, my goodness.
You know, that was a complete debacle. And people would say, you know, Drew Archer had no business being on the roster. I had the chance to meet him last year. Matter of fact, his interview is on therudogshow.com. What did you think about that move, you know, cutting Dree Archer in lieu of Jacoby Jones?
I think it made sense at the time. I think that because fans were wanting something out of Archer since he was a fairly high round pick, that they never really got on offense. I don't really think that he ever had the opportunity to do anything on special teams. When the move first happened, I was really, really excited about it. You can call me silly, you can call me this and that, but when it first happened, I thought, okay, we're finally going to have someone who can take it back to the house. Because Wheaton, he hasn't really shown that he can do that. Archer, he had a couple of flash in the pan type moments. But when we got him, I said, okay, well, we played against him with the Ravens. And when he was with the Ravens, there was a game, I think it was 2 years ago, where the only reason why we ended up missing the playoffs was because there was a 48-yard punt, I think it was, that he took all the way back against us. So I thought that he would have that kind of impact for us. The sad reality of it is it just looked like the wheels had fallen off. And when I watched him, I mean, there was twice where he fumbled it and he got it back, but there was once that he didn't. And then it looked like he was age eventually caught up with him. And looking back on it now, maybe we should have kept Archer, but I think it's the fact that he didn't go anywhere else, and the fact that we haven't re-signed him, I think is, I don't know about that. I mean, after we cut him, I think that we should have had him back on the team. But that's just me.
Well, you know, look, first of all, Jacoby Jones has a tattoo of a Ravens. He has like a Ravens logo.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awful.
Right. So here you are, a guy, and I seen him on the sidelines, and I'm looking at him. I said, is this guy ever going to talk to anybody? You know, he had Antonio Brown sitting next to him. He was sitting next to a couple other players, Darius Heyward-Bey and some other guys, and he really had nothing to say. He wasn't really eyeballing anybody. He wasn't talking to anyone. There was no engagement whatsoever, and
right.
I think it was a very bad move. Look, keep Dree Archer. At least he can hold on to the ball.
Yeah,
at least
yeah.
Give him that, okay?
It's all
he may not have been this. Yeah, exactly. That's why you signed him. If he's not going to be your RB, get blown over because he's a $1.05 soaking wet. That's different than being able to hold on to a ball. At least he has that fundamental down pat.
Right.
And the fact that the Ravens cut Jacoby Jones, and then you have San Diego cutting Jacoby Jones, that's kind of a trend.
Absolutely.
You would would speculate if that was a soft spot in Tomlin's heart to say, you know what, I almost interfered with this guy. He could have ran a touchdown, this, that, and the other. So I'm going to give him a shot on the team. I just don't believe in my heart of hearts that he was a good fit for the team overall, and you should have kept Dree Archer.
Absolutely.
Nice guy. He's fast. He's quick. At least he doesn't traverse, and when he does, he gets some type of gain after the traverse motion on the field. And a very nice guy, and he held on to the ball. So imagine that, holding on to the ball, no negative yardage, no fumbles, no, I mean, you really have to think about this and say, what were you thinking, coach?
And Archer was so fast, but he just couldn't, there was no real spot for him on the offense, which is fine, but you have to find a way to make his speed now some sort of factor. You have to find it, and they never really did, and they never really used him on offense. I don't know if it's because they couldn't give him the ball, or when they did, he couldn't really do much with it, but he, as you were saying, he can hang on to the ball, which is all you can ask for when you're on special teams. And I don't know why. I don't know. I just it's a terrible move seeing it now, though.
So I'm going to get your prediction as we wrap this up. Do the Steelers go on to win their seventh Lombardi?
No. And I'll tell you why. I think they end up winning the AFC. I just, when you look at the NFC and you see a team like the Panthers, they are incredible everywhere. And, you know, Cam Newton is or will be the MVP. And then you look at that defense, Kuechly, Norman, Short. It's just they have so much talent everywhere that I want to say yes, I really do. But when you look at a team like the Panthers, like the Cardinals, I don't think so, sadly.
Well, I can tell you this much. When you're losing an RB heading into the playoffs, the Steelers have done it before, and they went on to go very deep in the playoffs. I mean, they lost Willie Parker, and they lost D'Angelo Williams, and they really have to come together and make a determination whether or not to go into the closet, not only check on how Josh Harris is doing. Of course, I talked to Josh on a rudimentary basis, mm-hmm. but nevertheless, when you're talking about what they need to do in the run game to help give Ben some play action options, Will Johnson may end up having to be the guy that you most certainly go to, maybe with a split back with Todman or even Toussaint, depending on what situation you are downfield. As far as my prediction to win the Super Bowl, that's a really good question, and I hate to answer that for a couple reasons. First reason is right now, as it stands, the Steelers are not the solid pass coverage team that we've been able to see in the past. No, this is not Steel Curtain. This is not a relive moment of the Steel Curtain. I'm not living in the past. I'm looking towards the future. And right now, unless that pass coverage is shored up between now and the next time they play a down on the field, that they're able to recognize and understand that that is their bread and butter, to stop that pass and to stop the run. And so unless they get those blitz schemes picked up, unless they put in the rotation, it brings me to another point with Brandon Boykin. Look, had that guy been in the lineup, or at least rotated in on more of a frequent basis than he had up until recently, fans were screaming, "Where's Brandon Boykin?" or hashtag free Boykin. There's a lot of conversation saying, look, you lost a fifth-round pick to a guy you're not playing. Why not? Blake is getting burnt like toast on the outside. Put a guy who can do the outside and the inside in a nickel or 4-3, do something else, because what you're doing is not working. Where do you see Brandon Boykin being as a part of the Steelers secondary moving forward?
They have to start using him more than they were in the first 12 weeks. They're going to have to play him. I don't know if he's necessarily, or if he can start on the boundary. I would say no to that. But if you put Will Gay and you put Ross Cocker on the outside and you have him on the inside, it's not a great team there, but it's not bad, and it's, at the very least, it means that Blake is not on the field, because it just seems like it's routine now that when he's on the field, they just pick on him, they throw at him, and he just cannot stop the pass at all, and it's frustrating. So I think that they're going to have to move him into the inside. They're going to have to play him there every down, and they're going to have to find a way to use him, because they have to now.
Right, they definitely do. They're going to have to get it done, because when you're looking at it from a draft perspective, they really need to find out who these guys are in the offseason and a training camp to find out if there's anybody else they need to go after, maybe in free agency, or, what do you do with Cortez Allen? You sunk a lot of money into him. Do you restructure the contract? How do you go about justifying releasing this guy?
I know, and he was supposed to be like a key part of this team, and now he's on IR, and there are all kinds of stories whether or not he's actually hurt or not. I don't know what happened there fully. I don't think anybody knows what fully happened there, but that looks like a disaster contract now too.
Right. Well, again, we don't want dead money.
Right.
That's negative on the sheets. It doesn't look good at the end of the day. I just don't see them making any more negative moves in relation to, contract negotiations or what players will work or what won't work based on a monetary amount. Look, if you perform, you deserve to keep your spot. If you don't perform, you're gone.
Absolutely.
And to be honest with you, sentimentality, and I've said this before on various audio segments and shows that I've been on, sentimentality will kill the sport. It will kill the ability for you to win games, despite whether or not your fan base wants this person or that person. It really doesn't matter. Case in point, 2 years ago, I interviewed Josh Morrow. He was a DE out of Stanford. Nobody, not ESPN, not Todd McShay, nobody picked Josh Morrow to be picked up by the Steelers in any capacity whatsoever. No radar, no discussion, no talk, no nothing. I went live stating that they would pick up Josh Morrow. Not because I'd interviewed him, but because when I looked at his film, I recognized that he has a pass rush talent, and it's a consistent one. Mm-hmm. He has a solid motor, good hands, good eyes. I had a chance to interview him at Steelers training camp while he was there, And he was just for it. He just wanted to play. He didn't care who he was playing for, but the fact that he was here was grateful to do so. His dad, being a pastor, me and him had a conversation as well. And when I interviewed him, Josh, he was so humbled, and he was very determined, and he was going to get a shot in the NFL, but wasn't sure where. He just wanted to play at the end of the day. When he was released, or something happened, I don't know quite what happened necessarily, but something between his agent and Steelers didn't go over very well, and in turn, there he is with next to a former Steeler, who is now a linebacker coach, and Larry Foote, number 50, probably a discussion at some point later on whether he gets in the Hall of Fame as a Steeler or not, or could go in as a coach, just like the former defensive coordinator Dick LeBeau will. Josh Morrow just has those skills. He's doing great in Arizona right now. Matter of fact, I think that game is still on. But he wasn't on the radar. And now that the Steelers cut him during the training camp sessions, now he's playing for another team, but with a better record because of other pieces in place. That's a whole nother conversation. But still one of those teams where they're getting handled by Seattle. So after the AFC North, when do we find out, or who would you like us to play? I'll put it that way.
I would like us to try and play Denver. I think we match up well against what they do. I mean, if you go back 2 weeks now, or 3 weeks rather, we really did carve up that secondary. I mean, Harris had no answer for Antonio Brown. They didn't have any answers in the second half for this pass-happy aerial assault, I guess you could call it. And Antonio, I don't know if we're going to end up playing Peyton Manning. I don't know if it's going to be Osweiler. But I think that moving forward from here, you have to try the Steelers' offensive game plan needs to be to air the ball out. I mean, they can't rely on even if he's healthy, Williams, they can't set up the run. They can't do anything. It's going to have to be the aerial assault. And I think that, and saying this, people are going to question me. But saying that, I want to go into Mile High Stadium with Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton, Roethlisberger, and I want to play them another time, because I feel like we really do match up well.
Well, when you're looking at it from a matchup perspective, we match up well against either one of these teams.
Anybody, really, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter who we're going to go, whose house we're going into, right, what we're doing, or how we're going to do it. It's really about execution. It's about shoring up that pass coverage by putting in the right personnel that's going to get it done on every single down without making excuses and basically do what you have to do and win the game. So
absolutely.
when we're talking about D'Angelo Williams, let's go to that for a second, because you have Will Johnson. He has two receptions for 4 yards, and you have Roosevelt Nix, who has been relatively surprising, not only on special teams but in the backfield.
Right.
Do you foresee Roosevelt Nix maybe getting some of that halfback, maybe RB action?
I don't know. Perhaps I think that we're gonna, if they do